This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, hit number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line, it may go!
The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, welcome to a special edition of Two Birds on a Bat, the Fans Podcast. It's a special edition because Jimbo and Benji have already done the regular morning edition. This is the first day of summer break, so I get to do a little special edition. I got a couple of guests in here with me. Josh Potter, who's been on the show now for, what, about 2 months, Josh?
Yeah, give or take.
Having fun hanging out.
That's why I come down here. It's always a blast with you guys.
Are they paying you cash or?
I don't get paid a dime.
What?
I don't get paid a dime. Boy, no, I come down here because it's fun and it's an environment that I want to be in whenever I'm, you know.
So me and you,
out of college,
we make the same, don't we?
Oh yeah.
Oh, the volunteer work is great.
Oh yeah.
But I got a special guest in here today. Benjamin Hockman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Benjamin, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm awesome. And I got one dime for doing this.
Oh, my God.
So I did make a dime.
He's finding it
in the parking lot?
Yeah, basically, yeah. No, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
This is going to be great. Welcome over to Edwardsville. Thanks. So, like I said, Jimbo moved the regular studio time up just because it's the first day of summer break. I got caught at the office. Josh, you were in the first show.
Yep.
And apparently, I'm going to have to do something like read the live reads and all the advertising and everything like that. I'm not sure I can do that. You're going to have to help. All I know is there's Randy Green.
And Stephanie Green.
Stephanie Green.
And Emily Green.
Innovative companies. Yeah. If you need something done, work done, go see them. Hey, if you want to play golf, there's Arlington Greens.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that. We got a lot of
greens.
Former Cardinal first baseman David Green.
Yeah.
I think he's a sponsor.
And just to stick with the motto here, who's not getting paid any greens? A couple of us in here. So some volunteer work. So anyway, like I said, it's going to be a special edition. We're going to talk a little Cardinal baseball. Benjamin just put out a book, Cardinals book, so we want to hear about that. I want to talk a little Triple Crown maybe.
Sure.
A little sports gambling, maybe a little national anthem with the NFL.
Sure.
If we can just – we'll have a little bit of fun. So – Cardinal Nation, we apologize that it might not be an hour-long show of why Matt Carpenter can't hit, why Marcell Ozuna's in a slump, what's wrong with Dexter Fowler, how hard is Jordan Hicks going to throw the ball, you know, how do we get Manny Machado into a Cardinal uniform? It might not be a full hour of that, but we'll have a little bit of fun.
Yeah,
so, that's why we're here. Benjamin, let's start it off here. Tell the listeners – who you are, what you do, how they find you. Obviously, we know you because we follow Cardinal baseball, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. But go ahead. You got the mic.
Yeah, born and raised in St. Louis. For me, covering the St. Louis Cardinals was a dream, and then it became a goal. And I was able to replace my – I don't know if replace is the right word – take the job after Bernie Miklas, my idol, left the St. Louis Post-Dispatch to be a full-time radio host in St. Louis. So I'm a sports columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I've got an office in the press box at Busch Stadium. I set up my computer every day and watch the Cardinals, interview the Cardinals, analyze the Cardinals – swim and stats on Fangraphs about the Cardinals, and the best part about it is tell stories about the Cardinals. And for me, I'm honored. I just wrote a book called The Big 50 Cardinals, and it is it's in bookstores all around St. Louis and Illinois, but you can order it online. Big 50 Cardinals, just type it into Google, type it into Amazon, and it's basically 50 chapters that I wrote of stories, many untold, about 50 of my favorite men and moments involving the Cardinals. So honestly, this is an honor to be here on the podcast.
Well, you should see an uptick in book sales, I'm going to guess. I mean, we got millions of subscribers. Is it millions now?
Is it, did it crack
200? Around estimated 200,000 downloads a month.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, we reached, whether it's on social media or anything like that, two birds on a bat reaches millions.
I mean, that's why I wrote this book. I mean, I grew up as a St. Louis Cardinal guy, and I wanted to write a book that I would want to read. In other words, I wanted to write a book for the fans, and there's so many stories in there that haven't been told, and there's so many stories in the book I think the fans can relate to, and I interviewed fans too to get their stories, because we all know like what happened. We saw the David Freese triple, we saw this, we saw that, but how about the fans' great stories behind the scenes? And also, I interviewed a lot of sports celebrities, Cardinals celebrities, fans, John Hamm, Ellie Kemper, Jenna Fischer, people like that who shared their stories watching the greatest moments in Cardinals history.
You came to the right place then.
Yeah.
This is the Cardinals fan podcast. I mean, you couldn't have picked a better place to do this. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Right, right. As long as they don't turn up the show and I mention horse racing and NFL.
That's what I about walked out the door. I don't know if don't call on me whenever you guys talk about that. I'll just be right here.
We're right around the corner from another Triple Crown.
Yeah.
And you're not excited about Justify running in that?
No, I honestly probably couldn't care less, just because I have two jobs and I do this and I am so wrapped, my mind's so wrapped up in baseball.
The only Triple Crown that matters to you
That's about it.
Miguel Cabrera. Or
I'm dedicated. I'm a loyal baseball fan. I don't like to shy away too far from my.
Wow, that surprises me. I'm just an all around sports guy, and I know you write a lot of the articles out there, Benjamin, about all that stuff. And you know, it nothing more exciting to get up in the morning and hit Twitter or hit STLtoday.com and just see what's the latest news and notes. I mean, not from around the league only, but the NFL. We've talked about this for, you know, the last 2 years of doing these shows. This is the greatest time of the year to be in sports. And we might be a couple weeks past it, but
exciting. You mentioned the Triple Crown. I mean, that's fun stuff. The NFL thing going on, and now the Cardinals are heading into June. I mean, this is an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. You got NFL or NBA, you got NHL.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
By the way, all the finals. Yeah. I love watching college baseball, college softball, that stuff. So, you know, I get to turn on the TV and actually have fun and watch a lot of the stuff. NASCAR's in full swing, so.
There's an old story from an old sports writer that we used to know. You're just naming, like, how you love all the sports. And there's a guy, this is back when all the writers would come into office. You know, today, you know, we're at coffee shops. We're all around. But you can picture, like, all the writers in the office. And this one guy was out on the scene. And his wife came to meet him at the office, and they're like, oh, she's like, where's Jim? And, oh, he's out. And, let me tell you a story about Jim while they're waiting for him. He's like, he just loves sports, all sports. And, you know, Steve, you tell me about all the sports you love. It reminded me of this. He's like, he just loves sports. You know, here's how much my husband loves sports. I wake up, it's about 2 a.m. Where is he? I walk into the living room. He's watching women's beach volleyball. He loves love sports. All
I was
of
doing
them.
That with curling during the Olympics.
Well, I think the women's beach volleyball was for another reason. But.
Yeah, I mean.
He loves all sports.
Absolutely.
I love that story.
No, that's it. Let's get back to the book a little bit.
Sure.
So you're talking about 50 great chapters that you wrote. What? Give us a little bit of, give us some outtakes on what it is. Some of them, I think we've all kind of gone around and named our favorite moments in Cardinal history, whether it's the Ozzie Smith go crazy folks home run, the Lidge home run.
That thing's still up there.
It's still up there. I remember posting, retweeting the thing where it was Pujols' home run spray chart or hit chart. When he got 3,000, and there, and it was all over the field. And was one that was like, I mean, you had to scroll through another page on
that's
the picture,
funny.
And we all assumed that was the Lidge home run,
that's
right?
That's awesome.
But give us some outtakes. What more about it?
Well, what I wanted to do was, if there was a topic that was pretty well known, like Stan Musial, I didn't want to just be like, and then in 1956, like we know that stuff or we've read that stuff before. So I wanted to get stories that were new and fresh that we maybe hadn't heard. So I went and got a beer with his grandson, and we just sat there, and he just started telling story after story about hanging out with Stan Musial. Later in Stan's life, and to me, that's one example. So he's telling stories about Grandpa Stan and how Grandpa Stan takes him to dinner every night, which is fun. I mean, you get to go to dinner with your grandpa, but he's like, you know what? I'm 20 something. I'm single. Stan, I gotta go on a date here and now. You know, every once in a while. And Stan goes, well, I'll bring her along. And so he started bringing his dates to dinner with Stan Musial. Can you imagine that? that's the table for three, the guy, the girl, and Stan Musial. But it was beautiful because Stan, he's like, he kept saying, I want you to get married. I want you to get married. And the guy, Brian, was like, why are you pushing this? He goes, I've done everything in life. I'm in Cooperstown. I'm a Cardinal legend, Presidential Medal of Freedom. But I've never been a best man in a wedding before. I want to be your best man. And so Brian says, of course, Brian, someday we'll get married. And when he does, someone will have to stand in for Stan. I love stuff like that.
I remember I got to sit with him. He was doing an autograph show. I think it was in St. Louis. It could have been. I had the pleasure of sitting with him for a full day. It was unbelievable. And he told his story how he got here to the bigs. And it was really by accident because he was supposed to be a pitcher.
Sure.
Told it, when he was growing up that, his mom and dad especially wanted him to go to college. Mm-hmm. He had a basketball scholarship, I believe it was, and along come the Cardinals assign him, and he needed, at that point, he was 17 years old, needed his parents' permission.
Sure.
They had to sign a waiver.
Right.
Mom was okay with it. Dad refused to do it. Anyway, big argument. Finally, Dad does it. He's supposed to be a pitcher, ends up being a hitter. Not a bad hitter either.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting with him, and this gal came through the line to get a baseball signed or whatever it was, and she said something like, oh, it's great to meet you. It's my birthday today. He signed it, put the ball, gave it back to her, took out his harmonica.
Yes.
And then played her happy birthday on his harmonica.
Amazing.
And the whole crowd started singing to this guy.
It was
unbelievable. I mean, just magical type experience. So I assume the book is filled with that sort of stuff.
Oh, there's a great story where Al Hurt is the he's a famous trumpet player from yesteryear, if you will, the 70s and 60s and 80s. And in 1982, Al Hurt was visiting Stan to go to the World Series. They're sitting in the stands. And then they go to Stan and Biggie's, the bar and restaurant, and Al's up there. He goes up there, and he's playing the trumpet. He's like the most famous trumpet player in the world, and then Stan gets up there, and he's playing the harmonica, and there's a guy playing the drums, and a woman was like, is this trio here every night? Like, thinking that, like, Al Hurt is just, like, playing the local place every night. He's, like, an international superstar. And I love how Stan was, like, this magnetic personality. And that's the best thing about the Cardinals is we know their number. We know the players' stats and everything like that, but we really fall for the people too. And whether it's the coolness of Bob Gibson or just how special and real it is that David Freese is from our area, and he's gone through a lot of tough times and that people can relate to, and he's also a superhero with what he accomplished. We get to know the people behind the stats, and there's a lot of great stories, and I tried to capture that in the book.
That's awesome. Cardinal Nation is special. The fans are special, especially as they gravitate towards you know, not only the Musials and the Pujolses and the Molinas and the Smiths, your Hall of Famers and everything, mm-hmm. but your David Freezes, your David Eckstein,
you know
Rex Hudler for whatever year there, you know,
he's in the book. I sat down with Rex for about an hour.
I mean, just what was the other one? Who was our little Bo Hart? These guys, I would almost swear to you that when you go to the stadium, you mm-hmm. see just as many Bo Hart jerseys as you see Pujols sometimes. How Cardinal Nation just grabs their heroes. A lot of them are those scrappy underdog,
exactly.
5 foot nothing, 100
so
and nothing.
So Taguchi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite awesome to be part of the nation like that. Forward to picking up the book and checking it out. And you said online, bookstores, anywhere we need to get.
Just
Barnes
key.
And Noble.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And the key is Big 50 Cardinals. Just type in Big 50 Cardinals, and you can find it right there. And I'll be doing book signings throughout the area throughout the summer. So follow me on Twitter. How about that? On Twitter, @ @HOCHMAN @ Hockman, and I'm happy to meet the fans. That's why I do this. Like, I love meeting fellow Cardinal fans, people who can share their stories about I remember when. And that's the book. Like, I mean, there's a whole chapter about the beer vendors at Busch Stadium, for goodness gracious. Like we all remember, like, our favorite beer vendors.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I could still sit here and say beer bud, who wants a cold Budweiser?
Bud Light.
That guy, yeah,
Bud
absolutely.
But then my most favorite one, and I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, was anybody want a soda?
And a free straw.
I wrote about this guy. I tried to find him for the book. I couldn't find him. It was my greatest failure as a journalist ever. I could not find Marion Robinson, the soda with the free straw guy.
I remember that guy.
Yeah. But and I figured, so the only like tidbit I could get from him, and I went on like LexisNexis. I'm looking. I'm tweeting. Does anybody know Marion Robinson? Couldn't find him. But somebody that worked at the stadium said, well, he did quit one day. And when he quit, he got picked up in a limousine and left, and I figured it out, and this must have been what happened. It was the day they announced we're switching to those plastic bottles with the caps.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, no straws.
No straw.
His shtick is up. He's out of here. So that must have been what happened.
I can remember that guy. Who wants a soda?
Yeah.
And a free straw.
It's fun, right? Like, and you mean that's cardinaldom, if that's a word. Cardinal name.
We'll cardinal fandom.
Fandom. Yeah. Yeah. I mean that's it right there. That you could walk into Fast A's, you could walk into a bar in St. Louis and just say, anybody want a soda? And at least one person will do what you did and say, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh man, I'm excited to pick up the book. When you got a schedule on your show, on your signings, when you're going to be doing them, and where?
Yeah, I don't have all of them right here with me, but I know for sure on the 30th of May, Wednesday, May 30th, I'll be in Clayton, Missouri at Copia. It's a new wine bar. There's a different location, but Clayton's Copia from 6 to 9. It'll be a nice show. 6 to 9, 30th of May, Copia in Clayton. I'll be signing books. Come by, have a beer, and we'll talk some Cardinals.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about, you go down to the stadium every day, right?
Sure,
or
yeah.
Virtually every home game, and you sit up there. Break it down for Joe Normal fan.
Yeah.
From a journalist standpoint, what are you doing? How early are you getting to the stadium?
Sure.
What are you going to work during the day? Or, you know, I mean, are you putting in 16 hours? Or are you just putting in 4 hours at game time? What's your normal day look like on a Cardinal home game?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I get asked that a lot by my buddies and stuff, and it's really neat. I mean, like, I worked really hard to become a professional journalist. Like let's establish that. Okay, but it's so much fun. Like what?
Like, you actually know how to spell and things,
well,
right?
Well, we have editors.
Okay.
So, like, I can spell some of the words, but... And don't ask about who or whom. At that point, my head was.
You know what? Yeah. Twitterverse jumps all over Cromer.
Yeah.
Jimbo all the time on the, what was there, and there.
Oh, sure, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right, they're all over him, and he always, I mean, he snaps back like, you're a prick or whatever it is, constantly.
That's
kind of funny.
It's funny you bring it up, because literally just yesterday I posted that article for Arch City Media,
uh-huh.
and this random account on Twitter goes, it is, quote unquote, I haven't written in a while, not I haven't wrote in a while.
Aww.
And I'm just like, thanks, I appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks for calling me out.
Right.
But that's where I'm at. I'm like, I don't care. Like,
right. Read the actual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the point.
Exactly.
All right, so you go to school, journalism school.
Yeah, went to Mizzou.
Mizzou, obviously, top journalism school, one of them in the country.
It's so I always want to be a sports writer because I always say that, like, think about it. The name of the job is sports writer. Two of my favorite things to do, sports and writing. As if there was a job called, like, cheeseburger eater Will Ferrell movie watcher. Like, two of my favorite things to do. Like, that's the name of the job. Like, sports and writing. So I always wanted
to... I got to write down the cheeseburger thing, because that's going to lead us to another topic here in a second.
Are you talking about, does Adam's Smokehouse have burgers?
Oh, they got some stuff over there.
If they don't have burgers, they still got better... I mean, it phenomenal eats over there.
Oh, yeah.
You got to head over there and check out Adam's Smokehouse. Well,
Frankie rolled us out. God dang. 10 pounds of food.
Five slabs of ribs, not including the one that... BMO took to Yachty and probably his fellow teammates. Then we had turkey. We had
brisket, pulled pork.
Why didn't I get the call that day?
Oh man, it's coming again, man. We're going.
It's in the works.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely in the works.
We gotta get BMO back in town.
Yeah. So I became the columnist in 2015 for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as Bernie Mikles left, and I showed up just in time to jinx the Cardinals for the, you know, the 100 win team, and they lost the cup. But the so I feel terrible for that. I apologize. But here's, like, the job is, like, it's surreal. It's like a fake job. Like they pay me a couple dollars to show up at Busch Stadium, and you walk in. I compare it a lot to those ESPN commercials where you see, like, the guys in the office, but then, like, LeBron James walks by, and, like, there's wide receiver Steve Smith. And, right. You know, I mean, when you're hanging around Busch Stadium, especially when you have the access that the sports writers use, like literally, you get on the elevator, and there's Whitey Herzog right there. And he's like, hey, Benjamin. And then you get off, and you know, the legends, and even not even the legends, like, famous guys, Ray Lankford will be hanging around. I mean, it's really cool and Fred Bird walks by and stuff. But we're there to basically do a handful of things. Report the news, find the stories, and then from my end as a columnist, analyze it, throw some opinions at it, and basically have a commentary on the Cardinals. So to do that, I want to be as well-versed in Cardinaldom, I said that again, Cardinal fan, Cardinaldom as possible, and I will try to interview everybody. So they give us a certain amount of time where we can hang out in the clubhouse, which is really neat. And basically, it's just like the Cardinals are sitting there, and you can go up to the guys and just shoot the stuff, but pick their brains. And it's a way for them to get to know me and Derek Gould and Ben Fredrickson and the other reporters, but it's also obviously a way for us to get them to open up and just reveal things. So it's not, so we know a statistic, right? We know Colton's batting average is whatever. I'm making this 160, and his on base isn't much better. So what is happening? So then we talk to Colton for a long time, and he breaks down his swing, he breaks down his mental, where he's at mentally, and things like that. And we get to do that with all the players. Now, that's more of like a negative one, because Colton's not doing well. It's more fun, of course, to talk to someone who's playing
their ball. Tyler O'Neill, who jacks out of the place, right?
Exactly. That was fun. So, then we go into the dugout. We talk to Matheny, and Moselak comes in a lot, and we interview them, and just we basically ask questions that we know the fans want the answers to.
Okay.
We're kind of like the middleman, if you will. And because we know what the fans want to hear about, and so we want to ask the players about it or Mo about it.
So we do the same thing, but we don't ask anybody.
Right.
Yeah. This is what this show is.
Yeah.
We actually do the same thing. We know what the fans want to hear.
Yeah.
But we just don't ask. We just tell them what we think.
There's no professional, you know, outside source giving us. We do have BMO.
We do have BMO. That's pretty cool.
We do have him. He is, you know, the star of the show, if you will.
Yeah. He's one of the three best Molina catchers in baseball history.
Without a doubt.
One of the three, yeah. And that's another fun thing is like to have the former players hanging around and getting to know BMO and getting to know Polo. Have you guys met Polo yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Polo.
I love his energy. He's a lot of fun to talk to. So, yeah, here's the other thing. There's always another team. So you can also go over there. So I'll always go to the other clubhouse and interview the most famous players on the other team just to get their thoughts on the Cardinals, just to get their thoughts on the league in general. And you can shoot the stuff with the manager as well.
What does that go? I mean, do you go up and say, hey, Benjamin Hockman, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you got a couple minutes?
Yeah.
You know, you're grabbing Bryce Harper.
Sure.
And that's what you're doing. And he's... Hey, okay, or is he saying, "Hey, get out of here, you little," you know?
Yeah.
What is he saying? I mean, to me, who I'm a huge fan, I'm like, "Holy shit, you can do stuff like that."
It's unbelievable.
I mean, how do I not have that access? I mean, we are a This podcast here is one of the best Cardinal podcasts in the world. Maybe, and nobody's given me that access.
Maybe not just this world, but like other planets.
Other worlds.
Yeah, other worlds.
Without a doubt.
This is another worldly podcast. No, I mean, it's surreal. Believe me, I pinch myself every day. In fact, we have a new intern at the Post-Dispatch. Every summer we have the Rick Hummel intern. If you don't know, Rick Hummel has been the Post-Dispatch Cardinals writer, one of them, obviously, since the 70s. And he's in Cooperstown.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And he's still around, obviously, working hard. But we have an internship named after him. So I was literally yesterday with the intern. I said to him, we're standing there in front of the dugout, or on the field in front of the dugout, and I said, like, look, the job is stressful, the job is intense, but every single day, take a moment to appreciate where we're literally standing right now. We're standing on the field at Busch Stadium. Look around. There's the arch. There's the scoreboard. There's the retired numbers. And I think that's important to say.
Yeah. Now, did they keep you on the track, or do you get to step on the grass? Because every time I've been down there, they're you got to get on the track, bro.
Yeah, I mean, they don't love us running around the field, if you will. But for a story, I did get to participate in fantasy camp one year, and that was – obviously one of the coolest things, and you know, we can talk about that later, but they basically treat you as if you're a
you
Cardinal.
You said we only had a 45-minute show, man.
That's true, yeah.
I Josh, put it in the calendar that we're going to have to do this again just because we got too much stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
might not even get to horse racing today.
Yeah, that's okay.
This is crazy.
That's okay, yeah. It's really just so much fun, and the idea is just find stories, find different ways to tell the stories we already know about. I mean, for instance, I mean, like Jose Martinez, like we've read a lot about him, so we're always trying to find different ways to tell a story about the same player. And so, for instance, Whit Merrifield was in town. I don't know if you know, or you might know this, but maybe not all the listeners know this, that Jose Martinez and Whit Merrifield were teammates on the AAA team for the Royals. They wanted to call up Whit, but by doing that, they needed to take someone off the 40-man roster, and they were friends, so that's how Jose got taken off the roster in the Royals system and cut.
And the Cardinals got him,
and
right?
The Cardinals picked him up.
Yeah.
But imagine, like, you and your buddy are, like, coming up together, like, oh, yeah, we're the future of the Royals. You know, you and me. I mean, Jose hit .384 in the 2015 season for that Triple-A team. .384, he won the batting title. He's like, of course, I'm going to be a Royal, and Witt's, like, playing really well. And then one of them makes it. The other one's cut. But now we know the story. Jose's on the Cardinals, and then they were playing against each other this past week, and they reunited, and it was, you know. So there's, like, so I interviewed both of them about that, and I'm going to write that for the Sunday Post-Dispatch. Maybe you know that story, maybe you didn't, but if you didn't, it's a new way to look at Jose.
Right. So are you an analytics guy then, or are you a numbers guy like that and into this all this
sure.
advanced metrics? Are you old school baseball? Because we have the argument in here. Constantly, and I like analytics, and mm-hmm. I like all that, but to me, it's still old school and everything. So, where's your stance go on that?
I try to explain it like this. I want to be both,
right.
and I just want to be as well educated on both sides of it as possible. So, growing up and learn. I mean, I played baseball in high school, and a lot of us did. I mean, you learn so much about the psychology of playing the game and the hustle aspect and the heart aspect and things like that. But then, of course, learning about advanced metrics and stats that have. You know, BABIP and WOBA and all these stats that might sound like they're from another language. I mean, I think it's important to understand what those mean about a player. The idea is you want the whole thing, right?
Right.
And I think most general managers and scouts and people in the front office would say, like, the best way to look at a player is the whole package. I mean, if you just say, oh, because of his FIP, he's not going to be a good pitcher, that's unfair to the fact that, oh, by the way, this guy is one of the hardest working pitchers and he thinks he can get better every year, and if you had him around for two more years, maybe he turns into something. So and then for me also, like, and I think I sense this from you guys and surely the listeners, like, the idea of like the fan aspect, the stories and loving the players and the beauty of the game. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but I just love the beauty of baseball. So, like, you can, there's that aspect of it, and then the numbers can kind of, like, pull that down a little bit. Like, we just want to talk about the 82 World Series, and here's somebody over here talking about some stats that are kind of overhead, and kind of ruins the moment. So I try to balance it as much as possible.
Yeah, I get that. And we had a conversation, what, a text feed going the other night, Josh, with the 3-0 swing from Fowler on on that. And
yeah,
and,
I'm still not in that text group.
You're not in that one?
We'll start a rival text group, you and me.
Yeah. So anyway, and we got into that a little bit, and I took the stance, okay, the guy's hitting a buck 40.
Right.
It's 3-0. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it, we're down by two, but if you want to swing, swing, but don't hit a lazy fly ball to left field. Everybody was like, hey, that's bad baseball. You know, Benji's chiming in. Hey, that's terrible baseball. Sure, it shouldn't have been done. And I can get it from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But from Fowler, if you're struggling, did he pick out, if the ball's here, I'm coming unglued and get that front foot down early and get ready to go where he's yes, and then stay no if it wasn't there? Right. Because it looked like that's what he wanted to do, but then it was a lazy fly ball to left, which obviously meant he wasn't prepared. But
The flip side of it is that you could argue that he was being selfish.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Now the idea, like, of course, like, you want the player to – everybody wants to succeed and do well. Like, that's the whole point of the stuff. You could argue that it was a selfish decision, because if he just takes that pitch, worst comes to worst, you're still 3-1. But you take that pitch and it's a ball, you're on base, you need the base runner, you need the guy at first base, and maybe he – of course, he didn't swing. He wasn't like, I'm going to pop this up. Like, it was no, like,
right.
Like, he's like, I see a pitch I can smash. But because of the scenario, I can see why Benji and those guys were saying, just take the one pitch and try to get on base. And it, because you're not hitting 300, you don't necessarily have the gall to swing 3-0.
Right.
That's the fun of this, right? I can also see where you're coming from. He's like, well, here's the one pitch I'm struggling, but I know I can hit this one. I'm gonna swing at it.
Right.
So I see both sides, but that's the fun of the argument.
Yeah, and that, you know, my thought process was the pitcher knows he's only got a 2-run cushion.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing a guy that's batting, you know, Mendoza line split in half.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, and
even
then
Mendoza's making fun of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Average. That's how low it is.
And then you know, so it's probably a get me over fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4 or 5 miles off of what it should be. And you know, hey, as long as you're going to get aggressive on a swing, yeah, I'm fine with it,
mm-hmm,
because it is what it is.
Yeah.
But you know, you go 3-1, maybe the pitcher thinks, okay, well, now it's not a get me over. It's a slider at the back knee, and we know you're going to be aggressive on 3-1. So now we're at 3-2. The whole arsenal's up.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you could go either way on stuff like that, and that's
the fun of being
a fan.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Totally. And that's the fun of Twitter and the text group that we're in. Sorry, Josh.
That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah,
text group, huh?
Yeah, yep. It's a good time. So these things go off all the time when we're sitting there watching a game. You know, and Benji's out in Arizona, and we're here in Edwardsville, and who knows where Jim is. He's watching his boy play baseball.
I think
baseball
Jim knows
somewhere.
That I'll sit there and just be like, oh, my God, what the hell?
Sure.
You know, about this, and this, and I just sit there and just blow that group off.
Well, I thought it was you, because
I try to contain myself. But
there's a new number on the text feed I didn't recognize. I don't know who. It could have been Polo. I don't know. It could have been
probably,
somebody like
probably
that.
Probably could have been.
But, no, just fun. So you sit up there in the booth.
Sure.
And you're taking game notes the whole time, and then afterwards you're going back down for interviews and
exactly.
Everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys see mic'd up in the post-game show, basically, all of the reporters. And there's so many reporters these days. Obviously, the Post-Dispatch is kind of like the bell cow of the city, but I mean, the Athletic is growing fast with Mark Saxon and Joe Swars and those guys, and there's so many reporters there from TV, radio, print, and the whole thing.
Any podcasters there?
I mean, I know there are people that do podcasts that are there. I don't know if that's their sole. I don't know. I don't know if that's their.
We might have to break into that.
You guys could be the like Kramer with Kramer on Seinfeld when he was the first ball man.
Yeah,
the first. You know, they have at the U.S. Open is ball boys. Like, he was the first ball man. You could be the first podcaster. As we know, I'm tooting your horn, but I mean, like, you guys get the game. You understand the game. You understand the passion. Yeah.
Wish it was that easy to get credentials.
Yeah. Right.
You so, never know, man. We got to come up with some. We're legitimate. We got a whole Yo Radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Just brought here.
The lineup media group.
Benjamin walked in. I walked him through the bullpen briefly, and he goes, what the hell's going on back there? I go, I don't know. There's stuff going on here, and my son will start interning here tomorrow Monday. So he'll be part of the group, and he'll help me out with the Dallas Cowboy podcast and probably do a little bit of Cardinal stuff for us. But,
nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening here at Lineup Media. So.
I like it. Yeah, you guys do a really cool job. It's a cool space. I hope you guys appreciate how cool your space is.
They're gonna
Why do you
think I keep coming back for free? Come on now.
The rumor is that the building behind us is going to be renovated soon, and they're going to move back there with a couple more stations and just blow up the media side of it a little bit, and I'm excited about the rooftop cocktail lounge that's going to be up there.
When is this opening?
Soon.
Okay. Do they have cots
hammocks
up there? Hammocks. Okay. Well, as long as the hammock is comfortable to sleep in, because I'll be spending the night if there's a cocktail room.
are you homeless?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just feel like
I have my own place.
Not that there's anything wrong with being homeless. I just sense that all you do is just hang out around here. And
no, Mondays and Thursdays when we do the two birds on the bat, I'll come down in the morning and hang out and I mean,
so you're homed.
I am homed. I have an apartment with my girlfriend in St. Charles. So.
Oh. Yep. Okay.
Yep. So we're. Yeah.
I like it.
I'm not homeless, I promise you that.
It's a long drive, St. Charles.
I don't think I would have this this laptop or this phone. Yeah. I would choose a house over that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Maybe.
For the record, I didn't think this human being was actually homeless.
So good stuff. So we're sitting here, what are we, a little bit over a quarter way through the season?
What are we?
Right there.
Yeah, maybe a little more, but yeah.
Right there in the mix. Cardinals right there in the mix. Give me, and I know we're going to bring you back. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be open.
We're not even a half of the – no, we only played 47 games.
Yeah, so a quarter, over a quarter. Quarter. Right? Okay, I think my math is right. Yeah. It is an Edwardsville High School education.
Hey.
So to get that out of the way, born and raised St. Louis, mm-hmm. What high school?
Oh, Clayton High School.
Clayton High School.
Well, you went to Edwardsville. Yeah. I married into this family, so my cousin is Tim Funkhauser, the baseball coach at Edwardsville High.
Really? Huh, that happens to be my best friend.
Come on.
Yeah. Me and Funky grew up playing ball together. Listening. He's a guest on the show at least twice a year.
What's up, cousin? How are you?
That's awesome.
Small world.
Were you at fantasy camp with him?
No, but we swap stories about our experiences, yeah.
Because he tells me it's put it on your bucket list and do it. And I mean, we're such big time. I mean,
I can throw 80 still, and I know I can. I got $200 says that I can.
I'm going to transition this into horse racing, because if we ride this pony hard and long enough, I think the Cardinals got to throw us something. Mosaic's got to come on. We got to get Matheny on.
Sure,
I mean, we're big time, babe.
Red Shandies.
Maybe.
Yeah, why not?
Get them all.
Bob Gibson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think
get their phone number. Yeah. Get their phone number, and Brian can sit there and call them up.
Yeah.
So, quarter way through the season, a little over. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're sitting in pretty good situation. We always talk about wins, losses, and should-haves. I think we got a little bit more too many should-haves out there, but that's the nature of the beast. How do you see, us going for the next stretch into the All-Star game? I mean, obviously, Milwaukee's playing well. Pittsburgh's playing well. Cubs are the Cubs, and the Cardinals are right there in the mix.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to end an NL Central battle here.
Yeah, no question about it. And you look at the run differential, which a lot of people around the game look at. The Cubs are doing – I think at least the other day they had the best run differential in the entire National League, if not their second or third. Normally the top teams in run differential make the playoffs. So that basically says the Cubs will probably get even better as we go through this summer of 18. But you're absolutely right. This Central is for the taking. Clearly the Cardinals starting pitching is going to be the hottest storyline, especially when they add Alex Reyes next week and we have six starters.
And he's got a Triple A start tonight, is that right?
Yeah, that might be his last. I mean, May 28th is the day he comes off the DL. So, yeah, he'll pitch tonight in Memphis, and then he's back. And I went to Springfield last Saturday to see him pitch, and that ball dances. I mean, you watch this thing going through the zone. He is the same guy that we saw in the fall of 2016. So I'm excited. So we've got all the starting pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals. But the fact is, I mean, this offense, it's infuriating. I mean, you mentioned Ozuna earlier. We talked about Dexter Fowler, Colton Wong. Karp's found it a little bit, but
not the last two games.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, he like changes back to his old approach.
Right.
He's literally taking pitches, arguing with the umpire, worrying about the strike zone instead of just being aggressive early. Yeah. I don't know what the hell.
Dudes. Ugh. I mean, that's four guys in the lineup. And really, you can, if Karp stays this bad, you can hide him a little bit with the Jerko and Garcia situation. And if Dexter remains bad, and maybe it is more Bader, more Tyler O'Neill, but if Ozuna does not find his way, you can't just replace the middle of the order slugger. You had to go out and get him in the first place. So that, to me, that's the thing I'm most concerned about with St. Louis, is can Marcell Ozuna become an effective cleanup hitter and a better fielder too? He's made some dumb plays out there, to be honest. So and my colleague Ben Fredrickson from the Post-Dispatch wrote today about the idea, like, because he's talking about, I'm trying to find my swing, I'm pressing a little bit, trying to impress the fans and all that. Yesterday, he misses a start because he oversleeps. At that point, like Ben Fred wrote, he's like, the honeymoon's over. Like let's do this, Ozuna. Like, no more long leash. Like, you blew it. You should have been starting in that game yesterday, and the Cardinals lost that game.
Right.
That's frustrating stuff.
Now, do you look at it, and I don't know what you're, you know, if anybody ever gives you an honest answer, I kind of think that Mo's had a plan to be uber competitive next year.
Sure.
I think that's, and I don't, I think he's alluded to it on several interviews that I've heard, that he's really geeked up about 2019 and beyond.
Yeah.
And that now in 2017 and 18, it's about adding pieces, about getting the Ozunas in so he doesn't feel that pressure maybe next year. But the longer that the Cardinals stay in it, the more the fans pressure to want to win.
Oh,
now.
My God, yeah.
Right?
I mean, so, yeah. I mean, Matheny, I mean, that's the whole – or go ahead. Were you about to ask an actual, like, a specific question?
No. Just going on that, I mean, I really think this team's geared up for next year.
Yeah.
I think that they're geared up to make a free agent splash, you know, whether that's a Donaldson or a Machado. But as we get later on in this season and we're still in the mix,
right,
you know, what is the pressure going to come from Cardinal Nation to up that timetable to really try to make a run at it this year again? Or do they stick by their guns and say, hey, we got Flaherty, Weaver, Reyes, you got all these young gun pitchers, we can go out and add another piece, and let's really play for next year. And you know, my thought during the show earlier in this week was, you know, how much do you give up to get Machado right now?
Right.
That was the hot topic on today's show.
Right. And, you know, do you do that or do you – right now, I think, is a good time to jump the gun if you wanted to be all in now. So you have to give up what kind of pieces, you know, where's the leverage? You know, Baltimore obviously holds something for another month, but eventually they're going to be out of leverage position.
Sure.
You know, do you take O'Neill right now after, you know, four home runs and four games or whatever it is and send him back down to Memphis and don't give him any more major league exposure and say, look at this kid we got here ready for trade bait. You know, do you do the same thing? If Reyes comes up, do you send Flaherty down as the same type thing? Let's not expose him to any more major league action because there's a big enough sample size out there to have everybody's beak wet.
Yeah.
You know, to get everybody's interest perked and maybe send him back down. Do you use those guys for trade bait?
Yeah.
Obviously a huge risk if you can't sign Machado.
Right. Yeah, a lot to digest there. For me though, they have to, and they are trying to make a push for the playoffs this season. There's no guarantees. I mean, like, yeah, everything looks great for 2019, but if Jack Flaherty needs Tommy John and Jordan Hicks needs Tommy John, like, you know, suddenly we've got a little situation going on. So they need and are trying to make the playoffs this year. And if they don't, and I've written this in the Post-Dispatch, and I like Mike Matheny, the guy, but the fact is they haven't missed the playoffs 3 years in a row since the late 1990s. And if they miss it 3 years in a row, especially in the two wild card era, I mean, that's unacceptable for the St. Louis Cardinals fans. And at that point, like, why are you aren't you at that point just the Seattle Mariners, some 80-win team every year that's kind of just stuck? And, yeah, I mean, the flags fly forever. We will always look up and see the flags from 67, 82, and all the championships. And this is the St. Louis Cardinals but of the past. But if you miss it 3 years in a row, that is an embarrassing run, an infuriating run. And, yeah, you got some good stuff ready to go. But if they miss the playoffs, they have to do a heck of a job to prove to us and me why Matheny should be back. So that, to me, that there's all the pressure in the world on him to find a way to get into that postseason this year. And that's what's frustrating about the hitting, because it's his guy, John Mabry and Billy Miller. Nice humans, don't get me wrong, but they're in charge of the hitting, and four of the starters are bad.
So real bad. Yeah. I got a question for you then, based on the whole Manny Machado talks and getting rid of, you know, I've always said that this depth that we have this year is extraordinary. The pitching depth, have six starters, not including Gomber down there that's sure. Lighting up AAA. Helsley, I believe, still in AAA.
He just got called up to AAA.
He's making his, like, third start or something like that. Would you trade that depth for a guy like Manny Machado? For a potentially until further notice 3-month, 2-month rental.
Well, I mean what you're both doing and what we're jumping in here is it's kind of a blanket statement. Like, it's got to be like, who specifically? I mean, is it just Tyler for Machado?
No.
What is the offer?
It's Flaherty, O'Neill, and probably another piece. It might be even Martinez. Not Carlos, but Jose.
They want young, controllable pitching, and that's what they want.
For 3 months of Machado, no way. Not Flaherty. Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's going to come down to, and that's what the whole, you know, the idea, we don't know for sure. We have zero clue. We just have all the articles that were from, you know, this past winter break.
Sure,
all that kind of stuff. And they were saying Flaherty, Weaver, Reyes, or there was one other...
Hudson,
one of those guys, and maybe even two of those guys, mm-hmm. and then another piece.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, we're seeing the trend in baseball, like Lance, follow me on this, like with Lance Lynn and his generation of guys who thought they were heading into the offseason to make $100 million and sign for a 3-4 year deal, whatever the math is. Instead, they're getting 1 year deals because now more than ever, people are realizing the value.
Appreciating.
Of young, and we got these young, cost-controlled pitchers. I mean, that's why they didn't offer Lance Lynn, because they have Flaherty until the end of time. They have Reyes until the end of time, basically. I mean, what is it, 6 years? I mean, so many. Luke Weaver. I mean, they have these guys. I mean, that is so valuable, because then it also frees up money to spend on other dudes, offensive players.
Because time-wise speaking, Lance Lynn's not old. I mean, like you said, he's coming into where it was his big contract.
Yeah, we all thought he'd get it, but the smart baseball people said no. That's what's interesting.
What's even more interesting is we still signed a starting pitcher that is arguably
an all-star,
Cy Young winner, maybe, in Michaelis.
Oh,
I mean,
my God,
we
what
still
a find.
Sign him, and so that's what I still find is intriguing, is we still went out and signed a starting pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget that day. I remember I was down in spring training, and the Cubs signed Yu Darvish, and I will tell you, it felt. From Twitter and being around people, it felt like the end of the world. The Cubs, already good, just got a guy that contend for the Cy Young. And I had to take a gulp and say, yeah, the Cubs might be good in 2018 because of this, but this is a bad signing. And I stand by it. And now Darvish isn't doing great right now, so like it's making me look a little better already in the short term. But that, I mean, it's so tough to, because you want to win now and you want to win later. You want to win all the time, but you look at a signing like that and you're like, oh, we're doomed because they have Darvish for all these years now. It's like, hold on, wait a second, look what you have, and that also means look what you have in AA and single A. And at the time, we're talking about the Hudsons and the Flaherty's and the Jordan Hickses of the world who are now.
That was the other one,
yes.
Jordan Hicks, not Dakota Hudson.
Yeah,
Jordan Hicks.
Yeah. No,
Though Dakota Hudson, it could be better than all of them. We have no idea.
Maybe the best slider in the entire organization.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, I figured out a couple things, and I know you got to run and get out of here. You got a prior engagement. I figured out a couple things. we need to hang out more with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as Funkhauser's around.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get funky in here, so for sure. So need to hang out more with you.
You need to
come back on the show. We're going to give you a minute to go through some things, but I got to figure out, Justify, does he do the Triple Crown?
I say yes. The things I've been reading, I say yes. It hadn't happened in what? 28
years until a couple years ago with American Pharoah.
Four years, whatever it is. Yeah.
So, okay, I like it. I like the
fact
that.
What do you think?
I didn't like the end of the Preakness there. Mm-hmm. I thought, which I can't remember which horse it was catching him another, quarter, pole, and sure. That's it. And this is a longer race, mile and a quarter. I'm a little nervous for that.
Right.
But I like the fact that they like him because he's a big horse.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like the favorite. Sometimes I like the underdog. But mm-hmm. when you got somebody that should win like that, I always like to see him win.
Yeah.
So I would love to see it. I'm not going to bet the house on it. Not going to bet a paycheck on it. But
right.
I'd throw $2 at it for sure.
Sure.
Best cheeseburger in town.
Okay, so... Well, Shake Shack,
and let me preface this by saying Ackerman's been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I talked about doing a cheeseburger podcast at one point, and going all over and doing something like that. So, I got a couple ideas for you, but go ahead with your Shake Shack.
Well, but it's not just Shake Shack. That to me is number one. But I don't know if that counts as like a St. Louis burger. It doesn't count as a St. Louis burger, Danny Meyer owns it. But.
Right, but I got categories. I got. Regional fast food.
Okay.
There's fast casual.
There's
sports bars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got a whole list of things, and we'll get into that later. But
if you got one
cheeseburger, let's go.
One cheeseburger. I'm going to Sportsman's Park in Ladue. It's a great sports bar, and they put this pub cheddar on it, and it's phenomenal. The second burger I was going to say is Carl's Drive-In.
I just saw that the other day on like the. Cheeseburger show on cable somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just mentioned that
show. Yeah, yeah. So I used to cover the NBA, and I would travel around the country, and I was much larger than I currently am. And the reason why was because I would write a burger blog, and I called it the NBA, the National Burger Adventure. And every city I'd go to, I'd write about the best burgers. So
now I know we need to hang out.
Yeah. So what is your cheeseburger of choice?
So somebody just told me you got to go to High Point.
Yeah, that's good. That's
I haven't
good
had that yet. Now, remember, we live in a little bit of a corner over here in the St. Louis market. One of my favorites, I love a Shake Shack going there. One of my favorites, little hole-in-the-wall place down in Cahokia, Classic K.
Okay.
Great burger down there. We do that after ball games quite a bit. Good stuff there. One across the street here at Foundry is pretty damn good. But there's always good burgers all the way out there.
Sure.
But we'll have to get categories down. And,
I like it. The whole tournament, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, the fast casual, the mom-and-pop shop, the sports celebrity bar, like Shula's has a great burger down in Miami.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
People talk about that.
Good stuff, man. Really good stuff. Appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks.
Let's go through... Once again, the book,
mm-hmm.
your Twitter, your Facebook, everything people need to know about Benjamin Hockman.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, Benjamin Hockman at Twitter, at HOCHMAN. And the book is The Big 50 Cardinals. Just type it into Amazon, Google, Big 50 Cardinals. I swear you'll like it. I wrote this thing for the fans. I worked my butt off on it. It's a love letter to our hometown team. And, of course, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. We work really hard to report on Cardinals news and analyze Cardinals themes and topics for you, the fans.
That's awesome stuff. So, Josh, let's run through this. We got innovative construction.
Innovated.
Construction.
ED. At
right?
the end. Yep.
Randy Green.
Stephanie Green.
We got Arlington Greens. Right?
Yep.
Play golf there.
Yep.
We got the M4 by Yachty brand.
Oh,
you need to buy some shirts. You know what? I got to get... We should have said something to Yachty, because the word on the street was Jimbo and I were going to get to design our own M4 by Yachty materials out there to be sold. So we got to get a little bit, we got to get into that a little bit. But
everybody Smokehouse.
Here, yeah, Adam's Smokehouse. Can't forget about them. I'm starving right now. But for everybody here at Lineup Media Group, this was our special edition of Two Birds on a Bat for Josh Potter. Benjamin Hockman, Jimbo and Benji aren't here. I'm Steve Flowers, and we are out. Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.